Good afternoon. How many of you truly believe what you just sang about? I had an opportunity to talk with the young people before they came in, and I reminded them they need to sing what they're going to sing as if they truly believe it. Because it's easy to sing about Jesus, and it's easy to be in the presence of Jesus. But you have to know Jesus Christ, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him. I want to encourage the parents of the young people that came today that you continue to pour Jesus in their hearts. And if you don't know him, pray that something is said today, that the Spirit of God can grab hold and quicken you, make you alive, give you the faith to believe, justify you, declare you righteous. Then put you on that road to eternal life with him. But that's just the beginning. Now, when we're born, physically born, we're not born adults. There's a process. And it's just like growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a process. So if you would, please take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 5. And we're going to read to you this morning verses 25 through 34. And once you find that, please stand, if you're able to stand. So Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. And if you're in the Old Testament, get out of the Old Testament, go to the New Testament. But Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. My topic this morning is God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. So the word of the Lord reads, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power of virtue had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see her whom had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, realizing that if we try to do anything upon ourselves, we'll fail. But Lord, we need you right now to preach through me and preach to me and us as your people. For we need to hear a word from you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Now, Father, open up our hearts and mind to be receptive to your word, that your word may find good ground and fruit may be produced through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you may be seated. And as you're seated, ask your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, do you have any issues?" Because I have issues. And we all have issues. My issues may not be your issues, but I have issues. Your issues may not be my issues, but we all have issues. Because we still reside in this fleshly body. And as long as we're residing in this fleshly body, we will always have issues. Hopefully we won't have as many issues today as we had yesterday. as we walk and get closer to the Lord, our issues are revealed. Not only are they revealed just to reveal them, but he's revealing them so we can cry out to him. Because he is our only help. The Bible said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. If we agree with him about our sins, he's faithful and just and willing to forgive us for all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Although you may say in your heart and mind, wait a minute, I thought at my new birth, he cleansed me from all unrighteousness. But that's sanctified. That's past tense. We were sanctified. You were declared righteous. However, there's a progressive sanctification. And we must always ask him to cleanse us now. Because we stand in the need of his cleansing power every moment of our lives. The text we have before us today is about the woman with the issue of blood. But before we dig into that, and this story, the same narrative is found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, as well as in Luke chapter 8. But we're going to talk from Mark's perspective today. But in Luke chapter 8, he talks about Jesus going over, and as he was coming back over the sea, the people were waiting with great anticipation. They were waiting and watching for Jesus Christ. And that always boggles my mind, because how did they know he was coming? Back in the day, they didn't have technology like we have. And I was talking to my daughters this morning, and they're going on a trip. And I said, a lot of people go on trips, and they put everything on Facebook. And my younger daughter reminded me, Daddy, that's old. Apparently, the younger generation do something else, and I don't know what they do, but they post everything they do and where they go. It amazes me people let other people know that, hey, nobody's at my house. But people go in and steal, and I think for a while they were people that were stealing, people that knew them. They knew these people that were going in their homes because they broadcast where they were going. But back here, they didn't have that technology. So let's back up even farther. Let's go back before Jesus got on the boat and fell asleep. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35, just write that down. But Jesus is talking, and the Bible say he sent the multitude away, told the disciples we're going to the other side of the river, and the Bible said he took Jesus as he was. And that's the first thing we always have to do. We're not going to change Jesus. We can't create our own Jesus. We have to take Jesus as he is. But that's sometimes that's the issue. We come with our own agenda and expect God to fit in our agenda and not us bow our will to his agenda. And then we find ourselves in a situation crying out because we've gone off track. Of course, Jesus got in the boat, went to the stern, went to sleep. And his disciples were out. A storm arose, and a huge storm called a Euroclodon. And then the disciples tried the best of their ability to deal with the storms, but they got to the point where they became desperate. And at the end of your desperation, there's always a good place to put Jesus. Because a lot of times we try to do things on our own. And desperation just continue to get more and more and more. And finally, God has put us in a place, perfectly positioned us for him to show forth his glory and his power and his sufficient grace in our current situation. But you know, Jesus got up, spoke to the wind and the waves, peace be still, and they crossed over. Only to be met by a crazy man, the demoniac. When Jesus was afar off, the demon-possessed man ran to Jesus, fell down to his knees, and worshiped. Now, how awesome is God? He told the demons to deliver the man to him to be set free. The man didn't come. The demons brought the man. And the man is not saying anything. The demons are talking to Jesus. Jesus said, who are you? I'm legion, because there are many in us. And if you look up the word legion, sometimes it's over 6,000. In this one man. And the Bible say he was cutting himself, screaming out. And people tried to bind him. They could not. They put shackles and handcuffs on this man, and he broke them, cutting himself, crying out, living in the tombs. But Jesus showed up, and he exercised his power over even demonic forces. Whatever you have, Jesus has power over it. And Jesus' grace is sufficient for whatever it is. And these demons could have easily killed this man. Because as soon as Jesus told them to go out, they went into a herd of swine, and the swine rushed down the bank into the water and drowned them. But God was keeping this man, just like he kept us, just like he's keeping us. Because God loves us so very much. And you heard it this morning. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14 said, John talked about, we beheld him, and he was full of grace and truth. Talking about Jesus Christ, he became flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in that grace resides all the power that God needs, all the power that we need. It's sufficient regardless of what we're going through. It's sufficient. And this demon-possessed man came over. Christ expelled the demons. And the people from the surrounding areas came and saw the demon-possessed man seated at the feet of Jesus, clothed because he was naked and in his right mind. What kind of power is that? What kind of love is that? God is love. And through his love, he demonstrates his attributes. Because he loves you so much that he gave his best, his only begotten son. That whosoever exercises their faith in him will have eternal life. Is that not good news? That is the good news. The good news of the gospel. And then it brings us to the text we have today. Jesus coming back across. It was like when the people found out that what happened to the man with all the demons, they said, no, Jesus, leave. Get out. So on one side, they tell him to leave. But on the other side of the river, the sea, they're watching and waiting with great anticipation. They heard that Jesus was coming back. Now, why do you come to church? You come to church anticipating to hear the word from the Lord? To meet him in his home, or is it for some other reasoning? But the story is told that this woman kept trying to get her husband to come to church, continued to get it. He would never come to church, just absolutely refused to come to church. Until one day, she said, come on, son, let's go. Your dad's not going. And the little boy said, no, I want to stay home with my daddy because I want to go to hell with my daddy. And as soon as the daddy heard it, he got up. Got dressed, and he's been coming to church ever since. So why are you coming to church? Are you coming to church to avoid hell? Because church will not save you. Are you going to go through baptism to avoid hell? Baptism will not save you. Are you coming because you like the way so-and-so look? So I can sit by so-and-so. That's the only time I see so-and-so is Sunday morning. So that's the reason I'm going to go to church. But these people were waiting on Jesus Christ. Granted, some of them were waiting for some other reason than to touch him. They thronged him as soon as he got off the boat. Can you not imagine that scene? They just right with him. Jesus could barely move, walking, walking. But there was at least two people in the crowd that needed Jesus for Jesus Christ. First person is Jairus. His daughter's at the point of death, so he could barely wait. As soon as he got an audience with Jesus, he said, Jesus, come to my home. And he fell down before Jesus, begging him. And this was a man of means. He was a leader in the synagogue. And he came, fall down, because he realized, this is the only help I have. If Jesus, if you don't do it, it can't be done. He was desperate. Absolutely desperate. Have you ever been there? Have you ever tried everything and then everything and everything and you got to the point where you realize I need to call on Jesus Christ? Because he said, come to me. Not come to the church, not come to the pastor, not come to the deacons or the minister or sister or mother. Come to me. Because I supply all of your needs, all of them. Yes, he wants us to ask him, but he knows what we need before we ask. Because he is omniscient. He knows everything there is ever to know. And then some. But he knows everything. Yet and still, he wants us to come. So he's inviting, come to me, all those that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not only physical rest, but rest for our soul. So sometimes we're physically rested, but our soul is filled with unrest because we don't have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And if we don't have the peace with God, we cannot experience the peace of God. And Jesus has come that we may have peace with God, that we may have a right to the tree of life, that we may be found righteous in him. Not in them, but in him. So Jairus pleaded with Jesus Christ. Jesus decided, okay, let's go. But on the way, he is interrupted. As we would say, interrupted. But every person that Jesus intersected with our lives, their lives, we were perfectly positioned to experience the grace of God. This morning, you are perfectly positioned to experience the grace of God. He knows everything about us and yet still love us. Now, some people find out a little bit about you, right? And that's all they need to know to make a decision about you. But that's a small part of your story. People take snapshots and build their whole case around that snapshot. I know she wasn't any good. But how well do you know her? Well, I know enough. Well, I'm not going back down to that church. They're hypocrites. So you've been to every single church and you've determined based on your personal experience that every church is a hypocrite. Let's talk about you. Are you hypocritical? Do you do everything you say you're going to do? Or do you ever tell people to do something that you're not willing to do? If we drill it down and make it personal, individual specific, paint them in a corner and say, hey, the church is imperfect, but they serve in a perfect God. And the perfect God they serve is working on everybody to eventually to perfect them. Because this one thing I'm confident, he that began a good work in you will bring it to the point of perfection in Jesus Christ. And it will not happen on this side. It cannot happen on this side because we're still walking around in this flesh. Romans chapter 7. In this flesh dwells no good thing. But God has provided a way to be perfected based on the spirit of the true and living God. When we work in concert with him. It's not about him doing all the work. We have to work. He's worked both in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. We have to work. We have to open up the word of God and read the word of God and have a hunger for the word of God. And not only just read it, but read it and memorize it and meditate on it. And that's still not the end. You want to apply it. Because you can be full of truth and not apply it and still living like the world. But you want to know the word of God and apply the word of God to the glory of God. And the word of God is going to edify you and glorify God. And then you can encourage other people. The word of God says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works. You can talk all day. I can't see your words except when you act out the principles that are ingrained in the word of God. But he was on his way to Jairus's house. And this lady had been suffering for 12 long years. How many of you are under 12 years old? Let's be honest. Because some people, my wife says she's 25. I think she was 25 when I met her. And I met her in 94. Something that may be that new math. You know, they've changed math since we've been to school. And I used to help my kids with math. They said, that's not the way to go, Dad. I'm like, but I'm getting the right answer. Just think, 12 long years. And this was actually her menstrual cycle. You know, when you start, there's an expectation for it to end. And 12 years later, she's still dealing with the same issue. So let's paint the picture. When it started, her hope was this time. Because that was the way it worked. But all of a sudden, it went beyond the norm. Okay, this is an exceptional time. And then 2 weeks after the norm. A month after the norm. 6 months, and it's still happening. So at some point, she decided to go to the doctor. And the doctor, you know, experimental drugs. Well, this should work. And whether it works or not, you still have to pay, right? That boggles my mind. If it doesn't work, why do I have to pay? I don't understand that. But nevertheless, you still have to pay. And then a year. Well, come back and try this and try this and try this and try this. And eventually you lose hope. And this becomes your new normal. And you're dealing with it. However, Leviticus law says you are unclean. You are ceremonially unclean. Therefore, if you're married, you had to get divorced. You couldn't have any dealings with your kids. You could not even be touched, because if somebody touched you, they become ceremonially unclean. Therefore, you were ostracized. You were marginalized. You couldn't even live in your house. You couldn't sleep in a bed, because everything you touched became unclean. So you're going from a happy home, if you're married, if you have kids, and all of a sudden now you're out. And for all intents and purposes, you're actually dead. And she's living in this position. Day in and day out. Week in and week out. Month in and month out. Year in and year out. 12 years. And that's just the way sin is, right? Sin is just a little bit, just starting a little bit. Well, I got away with that. Okay, nothing happened. And the next thing you know, it's been a week. Still doing it. Nobody's going to tell it. I know I'm married, but she knows that she's okay with that. Then it just keep going and going and going. And then people find out. They want to put you out. And then it could be some financial thing. You know, I heard Minister Terman say people start to embezzle. They just get a little bit. I'll put it back. And then they get a little more. And then they get a little more. And then $12,000, $13,000, $50,000, $150,000 later. But it only started out with a little bit. And that's what happened with her. Just a little spotting. And then now it's hemorrhaging. She's gone to doctor after doctor after doctor. Went to Erlanger. Talk with their specialists. That's where they put her on this regimen. Nothing happened. She went to Memorial. Yeah, my mother been over to Memorial. I know they got some good doctors over there. Memorial didn't help. Went to Park Ridge. Went down to Emory, Vanderbilt. And nothing worked. Matter of fact, only thing the doctors did for her was make her broke. They took her money. That's the only thing they were doing for her. And instead of getting better, it got worse. Surely you don't go to the doctor to get worse. And then you hear about other people with the same condition. They've been healed. That experimental drug worked for them. Why not me? Well, they're a different color. No, I know black folk that got healed. Well, they're a little older. No, no, no. Me and that other lady is the same age, and she got healed. And can you see the desperation? Think about blind Bartimaeus. He said, "What's going on?" And they told him Jesus was passing by. And he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they said, "Man, be quiet. Be quiet." But the more they told him to be quiet, the louder he got. Because when you're in a desperate situation and you realize there is no other hope in nobody else, I'm going to find the hope that I need. Because I know I've heard about this Jesus, and that's what the word of God says. She heard about him. She might have known someone that Jesus Christ healed. I've tried Dr. Feel Good. I've tried Dr. Success. I've tried Dr. Phil. I've tried Dr. Oprah. But now I want to try Dr. Jesus. Because he is a physician. He will heal the sick. Not only physically sick, but the sin sick soul. He will heal. And her desperation brought her perfectly positioned to touch Jesus Christ. Now granted, she's ceremonially unclean, yet she took a chance. She should have never been in a group with these people, because every one of these people that she had touched her, they became ceremonially unclean. She was taking a chance. They would have stoned her. But it's worth the risk. You know, you do a benefit risk analysis. Okay, the risk is here, but the benefit's here, and I'm willing to take the risk to receive the benefit. Because she could not stay where she was and come in contact with Jesus. So she was in the crowd waiting, because she had heard about this Jesus and he was coming over. And she was right there with them. Jairus was right there. She was right there. I can only imagine that Jairus is probably right there with them. Let me show you where I live, Jesus, because we need to pick up the pace. My daughter's at the point of death. And this lady didn't even feel worthy to confront Jesus face to face. But she knew she had to get to Jesus out of desperation. Now that desperation turned into determination. I am determined, bound and determined to get to Jesus, because that faith kicked in only if I can touch his clothes. So she was so determined. I'm not sure how close she was to Jesus. I'm not sure if she was right behind him. I'm not sure if she was three or four rows back. But she said, I got to get to Jesus. And if she was three or four rows back, she had to press through the crowd. Granted, she's unclean. Keep that in mind. She's ceremonially unclean. And all these people that she's touching, if they found out who she was. One time, Jesus in Simon's house, having a meal, and Mary came up behind him. Now, let me explain this, because some people may like, how did she come up behind him if he was sitting at the table? You know these pictures we see where all the disciples, they were not sitting that way. They were reclining at the table, and it was almost like a chaise. A chaise was, you know, it was flat, land flat. The head was towards the table, and they would eat. They would lean on their left elbow and eat with their right hand. So his feet's pointing away from the table. So she came up behind him and washed his feet. Washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. And Simon said in himself, this is not a prophet. Because he was truly a prophet, he wouldn't know the type of woman that's touching him. But of course, we know Jesus knows everything. And he said, Simon, who would be more, show more gratitude? The one that's forgiven more or forgiven less? And he, Simon, said, the one that's forgiven more. And he said, look at this woman. She has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and dry my feet with her hair. And you didn't give me anything to wash my feet, let alone anybody to wash my feet. You didn't give me anything to wash my feet. And now you're trying to look down on this woman that's showing me true worship, and you have the audacity to sit here. If he knew the type of woman, she's a worshiper. And that's what the Lord God Almighty is looking for, true worshipers. Those that worship Christ must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So this lady had to lower herself to get up behind Jesus to touch his tassels. And that's what she was going to touch, the fringes of his clothing. Had to lower herself, get down in her faith, if I can only touch his clothes. Determination. She was determined to get to Jesus. Now, how determined are you to get to Jesus. Do you prioritize Jesus on a daily basis? Or do you get up, thank you, Lord, for waking me up, and rock on? Have a meal, look around. Wait a minute, let me make sure nobody's watching me. Thank you, Lord, for this food, blessing in Jesus' name. Or do you really, truly seek to spend time with Jesus? A lot of times, we don't prioritize Jesus until we become desperate. And that's why God put us in desperate situations, because he knows that's what some of us need. If it wasn't for a desperate situation, we might not ever be so determined to get to Jesus Christ. Because you have 24 hours a day, just like I have 24 hours a day. But it's not a matter of having the time. It's a matter of prioritizing the time. And you know when your best time is. You don't want to give God leftovers. So, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get into bed. I'll pray. Next thing you know, you're waking up. Now, granted, a lot of times I really study when I'm going to preach. And there are days when I don't get to scripture. But my goal is every morning, I have a 35-minute ride to work. I just don't listen to anything, just talk to the Lord. And a lot of times I'm complaining about that woman you gave me, Lord. Let's be honest here. About that woman you gave me, Lord, what's wrong with you? But he brings it back. Adam, where are you? Where are you? Yeah, she's not here today, so let's keep it in the house. Let's think about the gym. What goes on in the house stays in the house. But it is, and I just keep reminding myself, the Lord, you keep putting me in these situations to show me to me. Because it's not about other people. It's about how we respond to other people. Are you trusting God? But he pushes us in a corner. Takes all the crutches away. Everything that's propping us up. And we have to lean and depend on him. And she was determined to get to Jesus. And she fought through whatever she needed to fight through. Finding the right time. Because the world is trying to keep us from Jesus, right? But we have to press through the world. Press through the flesh. Press through the enemy, the devil, the god of this world, to get to Jesus. So she had to lower herself, stick her hand through, and immediately the word of God says, she felt her affliction stop. And of course, we as men, we can't identify with this. But I was talking to my wife, can you tell when it stops? And there was also a smell associated with it. Now, it stands to reason. If the smell was so different than all the other smells in the crowd, it seems like somebody would have found her out. But they had smells too. Our sin stinks in the nostrils of God. All sin smells the same to God. But on this side, we try to categorize sin, right? Well, at least I'm not doing that. But whatever that is, you can't let that stop you from getting to Jesus. Jesus is able to forgive anything. Because his grace is sufficient. But she touched the hem of his garment. Immediately, she felt healing in her body. She stopped. Because the very thing she needed, she had it. But not only did she stop, Jesus stopped. And he said, I feel power that's gone out of me. Now, people are pressing all around Jesus. It has the picture of somebody's being strangled. That's much pressing. And that's the reason disciple, and I think Matthew talks that Peter said, Lord, what do you mean who touched you? These people are thronging around you. What do you mean who touched you? And that also shows us you can be right in the presence of Christ, bumping right up against him and still go to hell. It's not enough to be in the proximity of Jesus, but Jesus has to be in you. Because all day you can hear about Jesus, all day you can sit in the church. I know Tony Evans said you could actually be born in the church. I mean, your parents could give birth to you inside the church building. They put a bed in the church like little Samuel. You could live in the church. Never leave the church building. Die and they bury you in the church and still miss Jesus Christ. These people were thronging Jesus. He stopped. And the disciples say, what do you mean who touched you? He said, I perceive power that's gone out of me. Because our faith, you hear me? Activate and give us access to the power of God. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have everything we need to live godly lives. Peter said we have everything according to life and godliness. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. So everything we need, we have access to it. Our faith gives us access, but we have to open the door with the key, which is faith. We have to open up the door. And just like she suffered for 12 years, God's grace is sufficient regardless of how long you're suffering. But we can't focus on the suffering, because I reckon the suffering at this present time is unworthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. It's unworthy. Philippians 1:29 said, not only have you been granted to believe, but also to suffer for him. But we can't focus on the suffering, or we'll miss the king. We have to focus on the king and not the suffering. But Jesus stopped. Who touched me? And the Bible said when she was found out, because he looked in her direction. Now, Jesus is not asking for information. Jesus knows who touched him. He's not asking for information. He knows everything. So let's keep that in your mind. Jesus is not asking for information. But he asking to give her an opportunity to come and receive the full blessing. Because she only got part of the blessing. Physical healing is not enough. Lazarus died. 4 days later, Jesus Christ raised him from the dead. Lazarus died again. And if he did not have the relationship with Jesus Christ, the second time he went to hell. So it's not about the physical healing. It's about the spiritual healing, which is much more important. Because everything we go through on this side is temporary. It may seem like a long time. But James said our life is like a vapor. You ever strike a match, blow it out, and watch the smoke disappear? That's our life compared to eternity. It's just a vapor. And if we put all our eggs in this basket and miss heaven. But Jesus said, who touched me? Turned around, the lady trembling, and the Bible says she came down, fell down before him. And just like we have to do, we have to make a declaration. So she started out in a state of desperation, which turned into determination. And now she's going to make a declaration. And the Bible says that she told Jesus the whole truth. And regardless of what that whole truth looked like for you, Jesus is able to handle it. In fact, he already knows. We can be honest with Jesus when we can't be honest with anybody else. Because, you know, sometimes when we're honest with other people, they want to judge you based on what you told them. And that type of judging is a sin. The Bible says we judge, but we judge based on the word of God, not create our own standard. And then tell you what your motives were. Yeah, I know why you did that. How do you know? We assign the wrong motives. But we have to judge it based on the word of God. And she came and told him the whole truth. Now granted, the whole truth included that her problem. The whole truth was heard by all those people that around him. They recognized that she was unclean, came into a crowd and touched them and made them ceremonially unclean. But Jesus called out, Jesus, why are you calling this lady out? Do you not know these people are going to become angry? But guess what? Jesus can protect you from anybody's anger. You don't have to worry when God tells you to do something. Do it. He's empowered you to do it. You don't have to be so concerned with like Moses, right? Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Well, Lord, I can't speak very well. Did I ask you how well you could speak? Guys, I made your mouth. What are you talking about? Whatever you're lacking, I'm able to supply it. And we have to keep that in mind as well. When God tells us to go one way, he's already supplied everything we need to go that way. So why are we so concerned and trying to second guess? And Lord, I don't have this and I don't have. Did God ask us? Well, do you have it? And if you don't have it, you don't have to go. He just says, go. But he called her out to call her in. He called us out of darkness to call us into his marvelous light. And when we come into his marvelous light, we're bringing all our issues into light. We can't hide anything from God anyway. Hebrews chapter 4 says everything is like at noonday out in the open. Even if you're doing it at midnight, it's just like in the noonday in the open. God knows everything. The Bible said God knows our thoughts are far off. He knows what we're going to think before we think it. And he's so good. He's already prepared the means by which we're able to do what he's calling us to do. All we have to do is walk in it by faith. And it has to be done with faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. But those that come to God must believe that he is, and he is a reward of those that diligently seeks him. So she exercised her faith, got an audience with God, Jesus Christ, told him the whole truth. Because Jesus did not want her to think it was my clothes that made you whole. And we should remind people, it's not the church building. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You could easily get so caught up in the things, but it's about the King. This young man used to go to church here. I know one day he came and hadn't been in church for a while. He came down the hall and I think the gym and I stopped and talked with him. He said, man, I just want to go and throw myself on the altar in the sanctuary. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. And in his mind, if I could get here and get to the altar, God will alter things in my heart and mind. But it's not about the physical location. Where can you go that God is not? God told Moses, if you go and make your home in hell, I'm there. If you catch the wings of an eagle and fly away, I'm there. So where can we go where Jesus or God is not? He's everywhere all at the same time. If he moved to try to go somewhere, he'd bump into himself because he's already there. But he's everywhere all at the same time. And he knows everything. So we can tell him the whole truth. And she laid it out. And Jesus said, daughter. This is the only place in scripture where Jesus refers to a person, son or daughter. Daughter. Whereas before she was known by her condition. The woman with the issue of blood. And that's where we were. We were known by our condition. Sinner. And you can name whatever sin you want to name. You were still a sinner before God. And we needed Jesus Christ to call us out of darkness and to his marvelous light. And he said, daughter, daughter, Your faith has made you well. And that's the only way we can get truly well, is by faith. And that faith is from God, a gift from God, that no man may boast. But it's a gift. Justification is a gift. Declared righteous. And we only have that gift is because of what Jesus Christ has done. Because his grace is sufficient. He died once for all. He does not have to constantly die and die and die and die. Because his death on the cross was accepted by God the Father, and the receipt we have is the resurrection. So we know he accepted it. And now, even now, right now, right now, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us, because we still need him to pray for us. Romans chapter 8 says we don't even know how to pray sometimes. We don't know what to say. We may not even have the words to articulate what we're going through, but the Spirit of God takes our groanings and take them to the Son. In the name of Jesus Christ. And now this lady able to give her testimony before the whole crowd. And she knows why she's been made whole. Do you know why you've been made whole? So she went from desperation to determination, making a declaration, and now she shows her dedication. She's going to go, and people are going to ask, aren't you the one? Aren't you the one that was ostracized, that stood outside, that couldn't be married, that couldn't live in the home, that couldn't sleep in the bed? Are you not the one? And she said, oh, let me tell you. Yes, I am the one, but I'm no longer like I used to be, because the grace of God has transformed me. And now I want to tell it. I'm dedicated to this man called Jesus Christ. Regardless of what you've heard of Jesus Christ, you ought to be able to go tell somebody about your testimony. And don't ever let anybody tell you to keep quiet on your testimony. Tell them, this is not your story. This is my story. And I have to tell my story. Because people see your glory, but they don't know your story. They don't know what you're going through. And they don't know what you've been through, how good God has been. Let me tell you my story. And when God prompts you to tell them your story, tell it. Tell them the whole story. What happened prior to your meeting Christ, when you met Christ, and now since you've met Christ. And your testimony should always be a right now testimony. Not 200 years ago. Yeah, God saved me 200 years ago, but what have you been doing for all these years? Oh, once saved, always saved. I can do what I want to do now, and I'm still going to heaven. No, no, no. Now, the reality of it, once saved, always saved, yes, we could do some stupid, crazy stuff, absolutely. But if you belong to God, he will discipline you. And he might just say, okay, you acting the fool down there, come on home. Come on home. And you know, as natural parents, your child started acting fool somewhere, you're not going to let him go anywhere. Like, hey, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Now, if we do that as natural parents, how much more does God love us so much? And we down here embarrassing his name? No. And your testimony is such that the people are really turning away? They're blaspheming God based on what you're doing? How long is he going to allow that? Now, we're not sure if Ananias and Sapphira were saved. I believe they were saved. But what happened to them? They lied to the Holy Spirit, said, yeah, we sold our property for that amount. And Peter said, why are you lying to the Spirit and God? And Ananias, dead. And Sapphira came back in, and Peter asked her, and she told the same story. Ladies, don't let your husbands get you in trouble. And husbands, don't be like Adam. Just standing there, not saying a word. But your testimony should be that I'm going to stand on the word of God, even if I have to stand all by myself. Now, granted, there are rules, regulations, policies, and procedures at work. You just can't go in work and not doing your work. Oh, I'm evangelizing. Wait a minute. We didn't hire you to evangelize. We hired you to do A. And why are you away from your workstation? Every time we come through here, you over here talking about you talking about the Lord. I'll tell you what, we're going to give you an opportunity to talk about the Lord full time. Because you can't keep coming in here And you say you trust the Lord will provide all your needs according to his riches. We're going to give you an opportunity to try that because you can no longer come here. No, we got to use sense. Prompted by the Spirit of God, you share. And God has put your testimony in you for a specific season. Tell people. Tell people about God. Because he's been good to you. And he has been too good to us to sit down on our testimony. And she told her testimony. And you know everywhere she went now, everything looks different. Food tastes different. And if she had kids, she have that relationship with the kids now. Even if her husband has remarried, she can go and say, I'm going to pray for y'all. Because now, for the first time that she's alive, she once was dead, but now she's alive. Once was an outcast. Now she's been brought nigh to God. Once was a sinner. Now she is a saint on her way to glory because she trusted by faith the Lord Jesus Christ, and her faith was rewarded. And God is still rewarding faith. It's not about joining a church. It's not about walking the aisle, because I'm sure you've seen people walk the aisle several times. And it didn't take. But you must be drawn. Jesus said in John 6:44, the only way somebody can come to the Son is that be drawn by God the Father. And that drone is really like somebody casting a net out in the sea and drawing the fish. It has nothing to do with the fish. The drawing has nothing to do with the fish. It's about the one that's pulling. And Jesus said the only way to God the Father is through him. So God the Father is pulling you through the Son by way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must make you alive because this woman was dead in her trespasses and sins. Christ poured her out by faith. And the Spirit of God had to make her alive to accept the faith and then justify it. Now she's on her way to glory. And so can you be. So can you be. So if you're desperate, that's a good place to be. If you're determined to get to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a good place to be. Then you want to make a declaration that tell the whole truth. Don't hold anything back. Then you want to be dedicated. It's not enough to be saved. It's not enough to be saved. But you have to grow by grace in the knowledge of him. And you want to let your light shine as bright as you possibly can. Because you've been saved 20 years and you still got a AA battery in your life. Big old light, and it's barely, you can barely see the tip. But he has a car battery you can hook up to your flashlight. And you don't want to hide your light on a bushel basket. What good is it? But you want to let people know what God has done. And I bet you can't make this woman be quiet about Jesus, right? After 12 long years? You can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. I know him and who he is. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you, Father God, for positioning us that you intersected our lives at the nick of time. And you brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light.